Welcome to the Word for Life radio broadcast. It is a joy to be with you today. As the host of the program, I also have the privilege of serving as the pastor of Brookside Baptist Church in Brookfield, Wisconsin. My co-host, Dr. Les Olala, chancellor at North and Baptist Bible College, is not able to be with us in the studio today due to ministry opportunity, and he is away speaking. Now, for the last number of broadcasts, we have had as his capable replacement just for this series of broadcasts, a friend and partner in ministry, Dr. Marty Vaughn. And Marty, you've been talking to us here about the disciplines of prayer. And we had some very convicting broadcasts relating to understanding and developing the discipline of time. And then even more penetrating was your last discussion with us on the discipline of humility. But what are some of the other disciplines that we need to develop in our life if we want to become men of prayer?
We're looking from Matthew chapter 6, and these are disciplines that Jesus Christ unfolded before the multitude. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, he says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door." I think every word in God's Word is so incredibly important, and these words, while in most Bibles they're in red because of the words of Jesus Christ, I like the thought that none of our Master's words drop to the ground.
Right.
What he said were words of authority. And these phrases, when thou prayest, invoking the discipline of time, enter into thy closet, invoking the discipline of humility. And now this one that we're going to look at, Dr. Horn, is when thou hast shut thy door. Or shut the door. Now, what does that discipline bring to our hearts today? That discipline is the discipline of mind. In other words, when you shut the door, the implication is you are shutting yourself into the closet with him, and the outside world is being shut out. And one of the most difficult things is when I do have that closet time, and when I go into that closet literally to spend time with him and I'm on my knees quietly before him, sometimes I am beset by all that I have to do that day, by the other events that are going. It's almost like, and I say this, it's been so convicting, and I've had to confess this to God, it's like, okay, what do I have to do after this? And it's so difficult sometimes to shut out the outside world. I think in this frantic, frenzied culture that we're living in, where people say, you talk to anybody, I know this is true probably in your congregation, unless your congregation is extremely different, but you talk to anybody, and what do they say? Oh, I've been so busy. I don't have time to turn around. I don't have time to change my mind. I don't have time for this. I don't have time for that. And you know what? It's so difficult for people to shut the door and just be in his presence alone and to find that quiet time with him. And so it's a discipline of mind where I'm removing all other distractions.
A focus.
It's a focus.
I have a friend, and he would not want me to present him as somebody that would actually think this, but in a moment of levity, he actually said one time, he said, if you ever need to remember what you have to do that day, and you can't for the life of you remember what it is, or a list that you've got to remember of things you do, just start praying. And when you start praying, Satan will make sure that all that stuff that you got
it.
And I mean,
that is so true.
We laugh
it?
At it, but you know, we sit down and pray, and I've been praying and praying and praying. Oh man, I got to, and I'll get a list out. I'll get a list going. I mean, I'm so unspiritual that I've actually started getting a list going. I better write that down before I forget it.
Right. And then I've even, in fact, this morning when I was praying, that very thing happened to me. I stopped and I said, Father, forgive me for not being focused on you. This is our time together. And here I'm entering into this other world of what I have to do. And of course, as you know, I serve in the community working with little children in a little league baseball program. And I was thinking about, oh, that program, we're getting things started or kicked off or whatever and that. And there's some issues that have to be taken care of there. But at the same time, it reminds me of a little guy that's playing on our ball team. And this boy is young. He's just a 10-year-old boy, but when he steps into a batter's box, it's been a long time since I've ever seen a young child that is that focused. It's like I think other people could call him, and his head's right on the baseball, and I congratulate him. I said, Ben, I said, you have such great focus. I said, you are going to be a good hitter because you have great focus. Well, we need to realize in the disciplined of mind, you targeted the right word, we must focus on the Father. In fact, it gets us to the next discipline, because when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father. So the discipline of mind is to focus on the Father, which is the next discipline, which is a discipline of relationship. So remove the distraction, focus on the Father, so that you can have this wonderful discipline of relationship. And if our listeners could grasp this and grab this today, it will literally change your life. It's not how spiritual we are in prayer, but it's how much we are wrapped in our relationship with Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See, many people look at prayer as being spiritual, and this it's a spiritual exercise, and it could be labeled as that. But that's not the idea. That's not the idea of what we're talking about in the discipline of prayer here. We're talking about building a close relationship with God. And so it's the discipline of relationship. Pray to thy Father. I think we should probably take a few moments in the broadcast here. I think it would be appropriate to do so, to talk about the fact that sometimes people have difficulty in the discipline of prayer because of the relationship to the Father.
Well, what do you mean by that?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because here's what happens. I think in years of counseling people, I have discovered that people sometimes view God based on their relationship with their Father. In other words, the way they look at God. In fact, if someone's driving, listening to our broadcast, and you want a little kind of fun exercise to do after the broadcast, do this. Ask yourself this question. Say, if God were my Father, how would I see God? How would I think of God? If God were like your dad, what would God be like to you? In a very real way, oftentimes, people have a difficulty praying. I've spoken to people who said, I have a difficult time asking God for things because I never asked my dad for things. Mm-hmm. Because every time I went to ask my dad for things, it was like 20 questions. It was like going through a bureaucracy to get anything. What if a person had an angry father? Then they almost have a sense that, well, God is not pleased with them, and they have to be on this proof of performance chart before they can even pray.
Right.
What if their father were in business? They never got to see him. What if he were, and these folks are necessary, but what if he were on the road all the time driving as a trucker? And I'm thankful because I have food because those men sacrifice
exactly.
their time and drive. But if a father is away and does not spend any time with their children, or what if in some cases where you and I have dealt with the people and situations where a father died, or even more tragic, where their family was fragmented and there was a divorced or broken home, and they did not have an image of a father before them, then sometimes when they pray, they wonder if God's there. They wonder if God's hearing. They wonder if God's listening. And so I do think it's important to take a little glance, at least, at that aspect and say to our listeners, hey, maybe one of the difficulties that you have with praying is you don't see God as a heavenly Father. You know, when Jesus, the disciples said to Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. What did he say? Pray likewise. Our Father which art in heaven. There's a distinct difference between a heavenly Father and an earthly Father. And I know some people have said, you might ask the question, well, how do I change? What if I did have a difficulty in my relationship with my Father and I realize, hey, this has in a very practical and a very real way affected my prayer life. What do I do?
Well, it seems to me that all these disciplines tie together. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're not going to get to know somebody unless you spend time.
That's right.
And so you need that appointment with God.
And how you change that view of your father is through God's word. Because, you know...
In other words, you can't do all the talking.
Exactly.
You've got to let God do the talking so that you get to know him.
And he talks through his word.
Right.
And what is the greatest picture of my Heavenly Father? I wondered one time I was praying and I thought, how could you have a sense of loving God and embracing him? And you say, and you think to yourself in a very real way, how could I ever embrace the eternal being of my Heavenly Father? And then you know what came to my mind? I can embrace him through the very pages of Scripture when I read about him coming to earth. Because the great news of the Bible is that God came down in the person of Jesus Christ. And as I travel through the Gospels and I look at his Son, as I look at Jesus Christ, what do I see? I get a true picture of the Father. So if you say, if you, Dr. Horn, were to say to me, Marty Vaughn, how can I change my view of God? How can I see this relationship with the Father as being real? How can God become a reality in my life? He becomes a reality through the person of Jesus Christ. And if you want to change your view of your Father, picture your Father as Jesus Christ and picture Jesus Christ as presented in the pages, particularly of the gospel, where
right.
his wonderful life is unfolding.
And all of this started, this little discourse that we've had here on the Father started because you were trying to help us understand how we can get to know God the Father.
Right.
And so your last comment about if you want to see God the Father, look at him through the eyes of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That's exactly what Jesus said to one of his disciples who said, show us the Father and it'll be enough. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
And this is the discipline of relationship we're talking about, because Jesus said, pray to thy
Father.
You referred to it on a broadcast before because it's an exciting discipline. We'll talk about that.
That's great. We're thankful that the Lord is using you in so many lives, and particularly in our life here and in the lives of our hearers. If you're listening to the broadcast today, we want to thank you for taking time to listen, and we're always excited to hear what God is doing in your life and to know how we can partner with you in helping you to take that next step in your spiritual journey. Write to us or call us or email us at the address that is provided here at the end of the broadcast here in a few moments. Obviously, we do depend on your prayers and your giving to be able to stay on the air. We have an offer today that we'd like to extend to you. If you send a donation of $10 in to the broadcast, we will send you a copy of Dr. Olala's latest book entitled Manna, a devotional journal designed to help you do, among other things, the things that we've been talking about on this series of programs, developing the disciplines of prayer.